And welcome, friends, to The Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also in studio with us today. And this is our typical 2020 year in review. We do this
on
the last day.
There's nothing typical about this year in review, Kevin. This is not our typical year in review 2020.
There's been nothing typical about 2020.
No.
That's for sure. It was a year in which, well, we saw the sovereign hand of God upon the entire world. Certainly, Jesus rules on the right hand of the Father. That's steady state, Bill. That's not changing. Jesus is in control of all things to the church. That's what we read in Ephesians chapter 1. So we have complete confidence that our Lord Jesus Christ rules the nations, and he brings some nations up, some nations down, but he brought the whole world down this time.
Yeah.
The gross world product dropped, they're suggesting 5%, which is the biggest drop in my lifetime, some say since 1880. We're going through the most significant correction in terms of the gross world product that the world has seen since 1880.
Wait a second. I got to correct you again. Some say since 1880. Who do you know besides me who's been around since 1880?
Well, they chart it out. So
okay.
They chart it out. And granted, you know, there's sometimes a little debate on the statistics. But there's no question we're seeing a significant dip that is more significant than the world recession of 2008. And more significant than anything that's happened, certainly since the Great Depression of the 1920s, but possibly since the 1880s. Well, friends, that's what happened. And of course, God is in control, right, Bill? Ultimately, God is shifting things around. He is shaking the world. I like to refer to Hebrews chapter 12, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. This word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And that was the takeaway in 2020. Doesn't matter what's happened in the world. Our responsibility is still to worship God, to glorify God, and to enjoy him forever. That's our target. That's our major objective. And whether or not the world is going to go this way or that way doesn't matter. We're still going to worship God. I think of Job, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. But we still say, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Well, friends, I think what we saw was the extreme vulnerability and fragility of the entire world economy in 2020 and the national psyche. We'll get to that in just a moment. It was the year of fear. It was the year of fear. I'm trying to boil it down on the front end of this year in review, Bill, and I think the best way to describe 2020, it was the year of fear for the whole world. In fact, the entire world economy was shut down because of this little virus. And it was the year of fear of death. Of course, that's the bondage under which the world labors. The bondage of death. That's Hebrews chapter 12. It was the year of COVID-19, a symptomatic super spreader, flattening the curve, social distancing, and shelter in place orders. All of these key words have become central to the American vocabulary these days.
Yeah. I mean, the words that just define us were things like George Floyd.
Yeah.
You know?
They came to describe the nation. One
pandemic,
little disease.
Coronavirus, masks.
Right.
You know, Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Vaccine.
Right.
Breonna Taylor, protests, racism.
We're getting an impending sense of Zoom.
Yeah.
Before any kind of Zoom meeting.
Anthony Fauci, yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
One little disease in the world was paralyzed by fear. Friends, one little flick of the finger in the entire domino set in a world economy comes crashing down. So it was the year of fear, but here's the catch. It was the year of fear of the disease. It was the year of fear of governments. It was not the year of the fear of God. There was still no fear of God before their eyes. There was no national declaration of a day of prayer and fasting, as far as I knew. There was no mention of repentance, no mention of the fear of God, and no mention of the judgment of God upon a nation, with perhaps the exception of an occasional pastor here and there. But certainly we weren't hearing any of our national leaders directing us towards a day of repentance and fasting and mourning
there
over
were
the
some
sins
governors
of the nations.
Who did. Some governors called for days of prayer, like in Kentucky and I think Georgia.
Yeah, there were some governors that stepped in, but not so much the nation, friends. It was the year of socialism as well. Perhaps the biggest year of socialism since FDR, since Franklin Delano Roosevelt. America looked to government to save them from COVID-19 and economic hardship. It was the year of increasing the federal spending per GDP from roughly 21% to 31% in a single year. We haven't seen an increase in the size of the federal government by federal expenditures like that since, well, the 1930s. Under Franklin Delano Roosevelt. It's been, that's a long time ago, Bill. That's a, that would be before I was born.
Yeah, slightly before I got out of high school.
Right. That would have been at least 90 years ago that FDR massively increased the size of the federal government. The same thing happened, friends, in 2020. A significant increase from 21% of the GDP going into government expenditures, federal government expenditures, to 31% in the year 2020. It was a giant step for socialism in 2020. And it wasn't just Trump. The whole nation pushed for socialism. Only 9 senators voted against the $3 trillion COVID-19 bill of April in 2020. And Rand Paul and his 8 friends showed up to vote no on it, but that was about it. It was also a year of masks, forced shutdowns, and many, many violations of religious liberties for churches who wished to meet in a public place. It was the year of nanny statists with fangs. These were nanny statists. This was the nanny state, Bill. But it wasn't just the nanny state. It was the nanny state with fangs. It was the nanny state with the potential to do much destructive work to the state economies. Think of the restaurants. Think of the retail outlets. America is still largely a service industry, but much of the service industry was shut down in 2020, doing significant damage to the American economy.
It's often said that the difference between Marxism and socialism is that Marxism is the iron fist, socialism is the iron fist with a velvet glove on it. And what I've sensed over the past year is that the velvet glove has been taken off and discarded.
Yeah, that's the kind of tyranny we're seeing in the country now. Friends, be back with more. It's the year in review for 2020 on the Generations Broadcast.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we are back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also with me. Friends, it's 2020, year in review today on Generations. Yes, 2020 was the year of socialism. It was the year of big government tyranny. It was the year of fear. And it was the year of economic insanity. That may be the best way to describe it, Bill. It was the year of the highest unemployment since the Great Depression. It was the year of the most overpriced stock market in American history. We're talking about a 44% increase on the NASDAQ in just 1 year. And it was the year the GDP contracted roughly 3.5 to 4.5%, the largest contraction since the Great Depression. But no worries, we'll go ahead and increase the value of the stock market way beyond anything we've ever seen. We're talking the most overvalued, overpriced stock market in American history, my friends, by the Wilshire 5000 per GDP index. And it was the year that federal debt to GDP topped 127%, up from, guess what, 30% in 1980, topping out the record set during World War II. That was World War II, of course, during one of the most important crises in American history. World War II ratcheted the debt to GDP up to 121%, but no problem. In a peacetime opportunity, America has ratcheted its federal debt to GDP to 127% in the year 2020. It was a year of national insanity, more of a national suicide, a surrendering of the will to continue as an economy, as a national economy, as a civilization. It was the year of a national fire sale, so to speak. And speaking of fires, it was the year of the most hurricanes and the worst fires in American history. The major damage occurred in California, Oregon, and Washington, where, as it turns out, the worst riots occurred as well. It's interesting that where the worst fires happened, there we saw the worst riots in 2020, and at least 70 years of American history taking place mainly in California, Oregon, Washington, and of course, Minnesota, all because of George Floyd and what was perceived to be excessive police violence. The damage exceeded $2 billion. The violence caused by the rioters in 2020 exceeded $2 billion. That's a recent number, roughly twice that caused by the Rodney King riots of 1991 and 1992. It was the year the statues were torn down, history was erased, and the pilgrims were largely forgotten. It was the 400th anniversary of the pilgrims arriving in America, effectively the 400th anniversary of America. But nobody celebrated because America had already shut down. The only celebration I knew of for the 400th anniversary of the pilgrims happened out here in Elizabeth. I think we all gathered together at our church on a Sunday evening. There were about 30 of us, Bill. We watched a video on the pilgrims and had a little apple cider. That was pretty much the only celebration I knew of that happened in America for the 400th anniversary of the most God-blessed nation on the face of the earth. God has blessed this nation tremendously, but we are way past all of that. We're way past celebrating America. We're way past celebrating 400 years of the pilgrims on the 400th anniversary of the pilgrims arriving at Plymouth Rock. So, my friends, the memory of the pilgrims in America now fading from the American mind. I think that's what happened in 2020. The memory faded. The statues came down, Bill.
Yeah. And with statues, comes down the history of our nation.
Yeah.
If you don't know your history, then you're doomed to repeat the errors of the past. And we have forgotten our history. And it reminds me of what Solzhenitsyn said about the people of Russia. Why do they put up with the tyranny of Marxism, of communism? And his answer was, because our people no longer know their history.
Mm. And that's precisely what's happened to this country, my friends. And the year 2020 demonstrated that, I think, beyond a shadow of a doubt. It was also the year of unprecedented tyranny and anarchy at the same time, as we just mentioned. It's interesting we had unprecedented tyranny and unprecedented anarchy in the mobs running the streets in the year 2020. Murders up 56% in Chicago and up 41% in New York. Gun sales nationwide way up. Background checks approaching 39 million this year, up from 26 million last year. That's about a 33% increase on year on year. And that makes for about 400 million guns in the U.S. There's a little less than that in China. China has 3 million armed civilians or armed citizens. Not so much.
I thought you were going to say three.
China has 3 million armed citizens. That is their military. They've got 3 million armed citizens, and we have 400 million guns in this country. There's a slight difference there.
Yeah. And it is the one thing that I think is going to keep the tyranny at bay. And that is the citizenry is armed. You know what the problem is? You can't get ammunition. people buying guns, but guns are of no use except to use them as a hammer if there is no ammunition. And so now we're seeing shortages in those areas as well.
Well, we're thankful the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution provides us something of a balance of powers. The citizenry themselves provide something of a balance of powers and a discouragement to the dictators who would wish to, well, confiscate the guns. But Americans seem to be overeager to submit themselves to just about every single regulation, including mask wearing and all the rest, Bill.
So don't get me started.
Okay.
Don't. Excuse me. I didn't have my mask on when I said that.
This is 2020 Year in Review on the Generations broadcast, and 2020 was the year of the worst political division in American history, certainly the worst since Abraham Lincoln and the Civil War. The average Republican to Democrat approval of the president has, since Kennedy and Eisenhower, had a 35% to 40% polarization ratio, meaning that Americans, Republicans versus American Democrats, are polarized by 35% to 40% as of the 1950s and 1960s. But you move into the 1970s, 1980s, that moves up to 50%. And then on into, say, about 10 years ago, Obama was a 67% polarization ratio on presidential approval. Trump averaged 77% polarization. And then in October of this year, October of 2020, President Trump had secured an unprecedented 92% polarization ratio of Republicans versus Democrats on the presidential approval rating. So, friends, we are at an unprecedented 92% polarization ratio on presidential approval for President Trump as of October of this year. America became a nation divided against itself. And as the Lord Jesus Christ said, a nation divided against itself, or a house divided against itself, cannot stand. It was also the year that democracy failed us. It was the year that democracy became a huge disappointment. And we had a hard time distinguishing between the Venezuela Banana Republic election conducted in December and the U.S. election conducted in November. I think we had a hard time distinguishing, which
part of,
wasn't.
Part of the reason was because the same machines are used in both countries.
That could be the case. That could be the case. Nobody believed the Venezuela election, Bill. Nobody believed the Venezuela election.
And few people here, there are a lot of people questioning, let's say, the election here.
Well, Gallup had already registered a drop of a 52% confidence in 2006, down to a 30% confidence in American elections in 2016. So you'd already seen a pretty significant drop in confidence on the part of the American people concerning the elections by 2016. So you had a drop off from 52% down to 30%. Only 24% of Republicans trusted the results in 2020. But here's an interesting data point. A whopping 65% of Democrats still trusted the election results in 2016, and that's when Trump won. So that's something of a contrast, isn't it?
Yeah.
24% of Republicans now trust the results in 2020. A whopping 65% of Democrats still trusted the election results when Trump won in 2016. So we're seeing a significant drop off in the American citizenry's trust in the democratic process, my friends. It was the year that a Democrat won the presidential election. I just keep forgetting his name. I'm serious.
So does he.
Forget his name. Is that
so
right?
Does
okay,
he.
So he's, I'm not the only one forgetting his name.
You know, Kevin, after those stats, you know who must be rejoicing? Used car salesmen.
Why is that?
Because they're now way above the politicians and everybody else in trustworthiness.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So people are.
So there are some benefits.
So the used car salesmen are doing better, you're saying, than our government officials.
Yeah.
Well, friends, let's move on. It was the year Hollywood died. We dedicated an entire program to that a week or two ago. Nashville's been dead for about 5 years, but Hollywood lost 70% of its income in a single year. That's really substantial, my friends, in just a single year. And the pundits are not thinking that Hollywood is going to recover. It's going to be hard to recover from a 70% decrease in a single year. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Does that sound like Hollywood to you, Bill?
It does.
For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. But she has fallen. Hollywood has fallen. Hollywood has fallen. Babylon the Great is fallen. And that great influencer that has led the culture in America for some 60 to 70 to 80 years is now defunct. And my friends, this also is a strong indication that, yes, the wicked sometimes flourish like a strong oak tree, but at some point, you will look diligently for her place, and it shall not be found. That's Psalm 37. Therefore, fret not yourself because of Hollywood, and fret not yourself because of evildoers. Bill, if this isn't a lesson for us, Jesus is overall to the church. He's going to bring down these enemies. He always does.
Yeah.
He always does. Just hang in there for another 3 to 4 years.
What is it? Psalm 37, fret not.
Yeah, that's
fret
it.
Fret not when
that's
evil
it.
Seems to be winning. Fret not.
That's
fret not.
It. That's
which
it.
Means literally, do not become hot.
Yeah.
Do not become out of control. Do not become heated.
Mm-hmm.
And
mellow out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to take a deep breath and realize Jesus is in charge.
2020 year in review on this edition of the Generations broadcast to understand better what has happened by the providence of God. Remember, as we communicate the works, the events that have happened over the last year, and as we do so on the Worldview in 5 minutes each day, friends, remember, these are the works of God. God is behind these works, and he is bringing about his purposes in history, and so we can step back in awe and wonder to see what God is doing. Now, of course, we don't always see the end from the means, but we do see the works of God coming about in human history.
And that's one of the things I like about Worldview in 5 minutes, that it always emphasizes the positive view from a biblical perspective. That even though there are disasters, even though there are natural calamities, even though that there are political upheavals, that God is still sovereign, and we should take comfort in that. So it puts it in perspective. It readjusts one's focus by reading that every day.
2020 was the year that Ravi Zacharias died. And the scandals and investigations concerning sexual sin followed. It was the year of Jerry Falwell Jr.'s fall as well. Hillsong's Carl Lentz joined the crowd. What crowd? Well, Ted Haggard, Bill Gothard, Mark Connolly, Andy Savage, Mark Driscoll, Joshua Harris, James McDonald, Bill Hybels. Need I move on? It was the year that the gross hypocrisies and the spiritual impoverishment of America and the American church was further revealed. It was a shakeup. It was a reminder that these things cannot continue indefinitely. It was a reminder that Jesus is still Lord. Jesus is still shepherd of the church, and he's on it. Revelation chapter 1 and chapter 2, he had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Friends, he's on it. He's on the church. And he says, repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with a sword of my mouth. Does that sound like Jesus is passive, or does that sound like Jesus is very much concerned with the spiritual condition of his church?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 11 was a verse also that came back to us again and again in the midst of the heresies, the scandals in the church. 1 Corinthians 11 tells us there must be scandals. There must be the heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. It was also the year that church attendance dropped and leveled out at 22%, largely because people eventually figured out that Zoom is not church. So eventually people realized that Zoom is not the assembling of ourselves together with one another. Zoom is not church. We learned that in 2020, my friends. It was the year, though, that church attendance leveled out at 22%, originally at 48% in 2011. Roughly a 60% drop in regular church attendance in American churches in just 9 years, and a significant portion of that occurred in 2020. The hardcore remnants were still standing, some in masks, some in underground home churches, but they still came to worship. It was the year of the Bostock decision, one of the most significant U.S. Supreme Court decisions in American history, and a nail in the coffin of economic liberty and religious liberties, both. Bostock was groundbreaking. It was the first major breakthrough in the obliteration of religious freedom in the nation's history, this time accomplished by the homosexual and transgender Borg. This year also marked the beginning of the end of the Christian college based on the secular model, 99% of which are hooked up to the federal loan programs. They have three strikes against them. They're secular institutions already seeking accreditation from secular organizations. They are tied into Title IX requirements, and they support the persecution of Christian bakers and photographers with the Freedom for All Act. That is the Freedom for All Except Jack Phillips Act. That's the way we refer to it, or we sometimes refer to it as the Utah Compromise. It was the year that Donald Trump, the president of the United States, acknowledged that Jesus Christ was far above principalities and powers, in so many words. And on the positive side, Bill, 2020 was the year that the whole nation turned towards home educating their kids for 4 months. And when the smoke cleared, the homeschool population in America had doubled to about 5 million students. And that's where we stand right now. So it was the year that God took Ruth Bader Ginsburg out of action. That is, she died and went to the judgment. But God replaced her with a pro-life, pro-liberty Amy Comey Barrett. And based on the Bostock decision, this puts the good guy, bad guy ratio on the Supreme Court at 4-5. We're still down one. It was the year Walter Williams died. And I know we don't refer to him very much, but he was an African-American economist, one of the most important economists of the 20th and early 21st centuries. Mm-hmm. A very important economist who brought a modicum of sense to America. And I will always be thankful for Walter Williams. It was the year that Pastor John MacArthur obeyed God rather than men. And we appreciate Pastor John, don't we?
Yeah.
It was the largest year of growth we've seen in the history of the generation's ministry, largely because, well, the homeschool population has doubled. And I believe that God is doing all of this for us, Bill. I think he's going before us, and he is providing for a better future for his church. You've got to believe that if Jesus is overall to the church, Bill, there's going to be a good outcome for the church in 2020. It was the year that every demographic in the United States sank to the lowest mental health rating, sinking 10% on average, with the exception of one demographic, those who continued attending church weekly through COVID-19, that group improved by 4% in 2020. Let's face it, it was a great year for men and women of faith and hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the takeaway from 2020. They did very well. Thank you very much. Those who attended church weekly was the only demographic on the Gallup poll that did even better in 2020. Everybody else did between 10 to 15% worse on the mental health ratings. It was the year of canceled culture, white privilege, and Black Lives Matter. It was the year Christians realized that the culture was counter-Christian now. American Christians would have to live in an anti-Christian culture from here on out, along with Christians in China, Eritrea, and Pakistan. It was also a year that George Barna revealed only 2% of American millennials hold to a biblical worldview. But that was the bad news. The good news is that 61% still say they're Christians. Not sure which God they believe in, though.
Right.
But they're still Christians. It was the year that J.I. Packer and Charlie Daniels died, two of my heroes. And it was, in some respects, the end of an era. It was the year that Christian leaders realized they had to be more John the Baptist and that Presbyterian pastor Fred Rogers. A little more John the Baptist than Fred Rogers. You know the difference, don't you, Bill? chewing on grasshoppers.
Won't you be my neighbor?
And bringing a salient direct message, a prophetic message to the day, something Fred Rogers would have a hard time doing. It was the year in which we realized we needed to be more Franklin Graham than Billy Graham. Hmm. More confrontational, more truth spoken in love, more grace and truth, more lament, more brokenness, more clarity, more transparency, more humility. It was the year that the worldview and generations helped rebuild Grand Bahama Island after the worst hurricane to hit that island in 100 years. The ministries also helped with a fund to prevent starvation in Niger and provided assistance to a burgeoning home education movement in South Saharan Africa. We ministered to 100,000 families here in America and around the world and provided two homeschool family discipleship conferences and an online summit for at least 20 Asian countries. It was a year in which the bankruptcy of secularism revealed itself more so than at any other time in Western history. It was a year in which it took faith to go to church against a rising persecution in just about every nation in the world. It was the year in which the Christian heritage and Western culture disappeared for all intents and purposes. It was the time for me to write the book Epoch, The Rise and the Fall of the West. Well, friends, that wraps up this edition of the program. And if you would contribute something to keep this program on the air and to keep the Generations Ministry reaching out to 100,000 plus families next year, we need to raise some $200,000 to operate the ministry in 2020. Right now, we're sitting at about $60,000. So we encourage you, friends, to get involved and donate money to our cause. But if you don't have that, as the Lord leads, we ask that you would pray for our ministry, lift up our ministry, that we would be able to fill the bill and do what we need to do in 2020. We get by on a shoestring budget, my friends. So I was checking out the numbers. Our ministry, our market, our opportunities are doubling in 2021. But here's our situation. Our overall ministry activity has increased by 70% over 3 years. But get this, our operating expenses have increased by only 5% over the same time period. So friends, our need is up 70%, but our operating budget has only increased some 5% over the same period. So we're needing to fill in the gap just a little bit in 2021, and we ask that perhaps you help us a bit with the Generations Ministry in 2021. Again, our goal is $200,000 to operate this ministry in 2021. So if you would like to contribute, please go to our website, generations.org, and click on Give today. And that wraps up this edition of the Generations broadcast. We just want to give all the glory and the praise to the Lord Jesus Christ and to know that His kingdom is coming and His will is done on earth as it is in heaven. And we give God all the glory and the praise for what He has done in 2020, in your lives, in ours, and amongst the nations. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we invite you back again next year as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.